Come along and join me for a visit with Bill Boyd, chairman of Boyd Gaming Group in Las Vegas. Boyd shares his family's intimate involvement in the gaming industry that dates from when his father, Sam Boyd, moved the family to Oahu when Bill was in the first and second grade. This is where Sam Boyd became intimately involved in the local, under-the-radar Hawaiian gambling scene, and this relationship would play a critical role in Boyd Gaming Group's success decades later. The family eventually moved to Southern California, where Sam Boyd worked the Long Beach Pike bingo parlors, followed by a stint aboard offshore gambling ships. Perpetually in search of opportunity, Sam Boyd moved his family to the sleepy desert railroad crossroads town of Las Vegas in 1941. A decade later, Sam Boyd was offered a 1% share in the Sahara Casino when it opened its doors in 1952. And as they say, the rest is history. Today, Boyd Gaming Group, with Bill Boyd as chairman of the board, owns 22 casinos across America, including 9 legendary Las Vegas casinos, including the Main Street Station, the Fremont, and the California Hotel. As the Boyd family built their Las Vegas empire, Father Sam recalled the Hawaiian Islanders' passion for gambling, and the family commenced regular marketing trips to the islands. As a direct result of this cultivation of the Hawaiian market, today more than 300,000 islanders annually visit Las Vegas. Boyd's California Hotel alone is often filled with more than 90% Hawaiians. And every week, 4 Boyd Gaming charter jets arrive at McCarran International from Honolulu. And this is why Las Vegas has been dubbed the 9th Hawaiian Island. Oh, and as a spinoff, it's estimated that more than 50,000 Hawaiians live and work in Las Vegas today.
It was my way.
Bill Boyd.
Tell us about your roots and your dad's roots, Sam.
Yeah, well, my dad was born in Enid, Oklahoma, and his father passed away when he was 9, so after his mother trying to operate the business they owned for about a year, didn't work out, so she took the kids and went west to California. So
would this be during the Dirty 30s?
This would be, well, my dad was born in 1910, so this was in the 20s, where they moved to Southern California. Originally, he worked on the Pike in Long Beach, California, the like a Coney Island. After he became 21, he went out and the gambling ships that were located off the coast of Southern California. At that time, if they were 3 miles out, they were in international waters. And he went out there and learned to deal all the game. He was also in bingo and poker.
What started it? Was it just purely job opportunity, a guy looking for work? Or did he have an intrinsic interest in gaming and gambling?
I think he did. He had worked on the Pike in Long Beach. I think he'd actually worked in bingo on the Pike, got involved in gaming that way, and then decided that the opportunity would be to go out to the gambling ships located off the coast and learn to deal all of the games. So that's what he did. And after a number of years there, maybe 4 years, the federal government made the international waters 4 miles out, and that kind of eliminated the boats. It took longer, and people would get sick because it got a lot rougher. Then every place he worked before we moved to Las Vegas, gaming was not legal after he left the boat. So, and among those was Hawaii. We lived in Hawaii. We lived in Newport Beach. In fact, I never wore shoes to school till I moved to Las Vegas in the 5th grade.
So you lived in Oahu then?
We lived in Honolulu, mm-hmm. on Oahu, and I went to kindergarten, 1st and 2nd grade there. And then I went to the 3rd and 4th grade in Newport Beach, California, so you didn't wear shoes to school there either. So when I moved to Las Vegas, I had to start wearing shoes to school. Anyway, we moved to Las Vegas in 1941. I was 10 years old at the time, and my dad was a dealer. Then he worked his way up, worked downtown in several places on the Strip, and got promoted finally and became a floor man, pit boss, and was even a shift boss and a casino manager, and then he got a real opportunity in 1950 to make an investment. His first investment in Las Vegas was in the Sahara Hotel. It opened in 1952, and he bought a 1% interest. That was $16,000, and my mom and dad had saved $6,000, but they needed to borrow $10,000. And in those early days, if you were in the gaming business, you couldn't borrow from banks. They thought you were a little undependable, shiftless, and more like a second-class citizen, actually. Not that way today, I'm glad to say. We're a respected industry. But those early days, we still were that way. But he borrowed it from a friend, and Sarah was successful, so he was able to pay it back. And then after about 4 years at the Sahara, he and his partners bought a piece of property in downtown Las Vegas, and they asked my dad to go down there as the general manager, and he was able to buy more stock. He owned 3.5% of the stock. It was called the Mint. He stayed there for 10 years, very successful place. Then Del Webb Corporation bought the Mint in the Sahara. So he left, and we had gotten involved. I actually got involved at the beginning of a little casino in downtown Henderson, Nevada, called the El Dorado, where when I was practicing law, I represented the man that wanted to start it. So I invested in it, got some of my stock as my attorney's fees. My dad invested in it, several others, and that eventually became kind of a family-owned business. So when he left the Mint, he went out there. He was there about 18 months running the El Dorado, and after about a year, a man by the name of Frank Scott came out to see him. Frank said, when I was a young man, I worked for Union Pacific Railroad, and I've kept in touch with those people. Some of them are senior executives, several of them in Omaha for UP, and they're willing to build a hotel for us on the old train station property, which was right at the end of Fremont Street. Trains, passenger trains weren't running anymore, so they were going to build a hotel and lease it to us. And they're going to sell us the land right next door, Sam. And he said, would you come down, invest in it, and run it? Well, my dad said yes. So he went down, and for 3 years, he and I were both in the Union Plaza. I had a small investment. He had a
That was the name of it?
Yes, that was the name of it. Yeah. Now, today it's called the Plaza. Okay. But originally it was the Union Plaza. And it was actually the nicest place in downtown Las Vegas. We opened July 1st of 71.
Okay, that's what's when it went, period of time.
And we were there for 3 years. And one day my dad said, you know, why don't we go open our own place? So I said, well, where do you want to do that? We had bought a piece of property. He and I owned the piece of property where the California started. It was a smaller piece than what we have now. But that was the original California. And he said, let's go build on our property. So we did that, and that was the first property off of Fremont Street. So we opened that, the first major property that was off of Fremont, I should say. And that opened on January 1st of 1975, the California Hotel. So we opened January 1st, 75. First 9 months were really, really tough. And after about 9 months, one day my dad said to me, you know, we need a niche market here. And that's going to be Hawaii. Well, it was Hawaii because he said when we lived in Hawaii, there was a game in every block. Now, what he meant by that is the Hawaiians love to play, and we're going to make the California Hotel their home away from home. So that's what we set out to do. He and I would go to Hawaii about 5 or 6 days out of every month and just go around to the travel agent selling our package. We put together what we called our Hawaiian package.
Let me interrupt for a moment.
Sure.
Your dad and you were the first in Vegas to figure out and do the math about the Hawaii connection, correct?
Yes, I think that is correct. Mm-hmm. And actually, just to not forget to say this, this is our 40th anniversary that we're celebrating this year of the opening of our company, the California Hotel. And we're very proud of that because there's no other company in the business that has the same management, basic ownership for that long a time.
Let me interrupt again. Maybe I'm wrong. This is really dated memory, but 15 years ago, your director of PR was telling me that there were weeks when the occupancy of the Hotel California is 90% Hawaiian. Is that true?
It is. That's very, very true. I would say on a year-round basis, it's probably 80%, but there are times like UNLV is going to be playing Hawaiian football here. It will be definitely 90% because they'll come in for that game. And then we have different events during the year that are really very attractive to the Hawaiian, so they'll come in and during that time. Anyway, we would travel to Hawaii and go to the travel agencies, and we found out something interesting, that the Hawaiians loved Coors beer. And they could not get it in Hawaii at that time. It was only in Colorado, California, or Nevada, just those three states. And they had tried it on one of their trips to probably California or Nevada and really liked it. So what we would do if we were going to visit 40 travel agents when we were in Honolulu, we would take 40 cases of Coors beer on the commercial airline with us, and we would put them in the car. We always had a couple salespeople with us, so we had a couple of cars. We'd load them in. If we were going to visit six travel agents the first morning, for example, we'd take six in the trunk, put them on our shoulder, and we'd walk in, and that was our gift to them. And that
was had like, some smiles.
Yes, that was like gold to the Hawaiians. They loved it. But the real reason that we really became very successful in Hawaii was because my dad was thought to be a local boy, because he had been there and ran some gaming for a Japanese fellow that controlled gaming in the islands then. And so
they really accepted him.
So they accepted him. They thought he was one of them. And they've been very, very loyal to us for all the going on 40 years now, and of course we've been very loyal back to them as well.
I seem to recall that you opened an agency there, so you don't have to rely on local.
We do. We have our own agency in Hawaii, and we have four charters a week now that we bring. Mm-hmm. Now we bring our customers in, and most of those all go downtown.
So that's in addition to the United and American.
Yes.
And Aloha.
There's a lot of business from all those airlines. Mm-hmm. As well.
Really incredible.
Yeah, it is. You know, we've had a lot of our competitors have tried to break into that business, but thank God none have been really successful in doing that.
So if you guys had not lived in Hawaii, it never would have happened.
No, it never would have happened. We would never would have had the knowledge that my dad had at the time. And we go every year, and we've been doing this for probably, I'd say 33, 34 years. We have what we call mahalo parties. I go every, I've never missed one for the downtown.
And where does this happen?
This happens in Honolulu at the Sheraton Waikiki normally. Mm-hmm. We have two nights inviting travel agents and customers in. We will usually average 700 or 800 each night that
Wow.
we will have in. Whoever the general manager is at the time at the California will get up and speak, and then they'll invite me to speak.
As testimonial to what you're talking about, I was talking to a Hawaiian the other day whose brother works here in Vegas.
Yes.
And I mentioned, I'm coming to Vegas. And he goes, oh, the Ninth Hawaiian Island.
Yes. I think the California Hotel is known as the Ninth Island.
They coined that. Though.
Yeah. Yeah, they really have. And I've had many Hawaiians tell me that they see more of their friends when they come to the California Hotel than when they're in Hawaii.
And then there's that spinoff, because as you and I both know, there are a lot of Hawaiians who live and work in Las Vegas, so it creates this yeah. whole other dimension.
I think 10 years ago there were 50,000. I'm sure there's probably more than that now. And also many Hawaiians have moved to Southern California.
And, of course, their relatives want to come and visit, right?
That's right. That's right. They sure do. What happened is that when we started the California, I said, well, what are we going to do first, Dad? And he said, well, the first thing we're going to do is send our chef to Hawaii, learn how to cook all the foods that the Hawaiians like. So we did that, came back and had a menu put together, which we looked over. And still today at our coffee shop at the California Hotel, we have Cy Men oxtail soup. We're the largest buyers of oxtails, probably in the country.
Spam play a place?
When I lived in Hawaii, I still remember they eat Spam for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. And I learned to like Spam, too, myself. That's one of their staples, definitely.
Spam, spare parts and meat.
That was great. Yeah. One of the things that I think is very different about our company, a third of our team members have been with us 10 years or more. And I'm positive that no other gaming company can claim that.
That speaks volumes, doesn't it?
Yes, it sure does.
Bill Boyd, what an honor and a pleasure and a special morning. Thank you so much for spending the time with me.
My pleasure. Thank you very much.
Thanks. And for further information, a website.
BoydGaming.com.
Bill, thanks again. What a pleasure.
I'm your host, Tom Wilmer, reporting from Las Vegas, Nevada for Issues and Ideas.
Yes, it was mine.